The name is Ajay Locascio, a.k.a. Gambit. Remember it. And you're listening to the special episode of Power of X-Men. Hope you survive the experience, mon ami.
Boom, what's up, Familia? Dayspring here with an episode of Power of X-Men to discuss Free Comic Book Day and the preview we got for Uncanny X-Men by Gail Simone with art by David Marquez and coloring by Edgar Delgado. I have to tell you, Familia, this feels very 90s. Okay, so post-Krakoa, we are going back to the 90s, and we sort of knew that was going to happen with everything going on with X-Men 97, which doesn't really make that much sense to me, if we're going to be very honest, because up until November, I believe they were planning to continue Krakoa for an extra year. That's actually what one of my sources had told me. That's why, if you remember last year at San Diego Comic-Con, we got a tease for the new X-Men, right? New X-Men, which was rendered in like Age of Apocalypse logo, and new X-Men obviously being a callback to Grant Morrison's new X-Men. So we were all wondering, ooh, what's this new X-Men team going to be? And there would be like, more will be revealed in November 2023. And we were like, okay, we're going to start speculating. And nothing ever came out of it. That's because, and I believe Tom Brevoort talked about this in his Substack, that was supposed to be something that Jordan D. White was planning. I've asked around. I have not found out what that was supposed to be. It looks like it was just an abandoned story or abandoned concept, but that would have been that we would have seen the fruitions of that story had Krakoa gone on an extra year. Now, when Krakoa launched in 2019, we all thought that was going to be the permanent status quo for the X-Books. And the source I was talking to was telling me that Krakoa was actually supposed to always come to an end. It's just coming to an end a year earlier. And I'm like, what? No, that's ridiculous. They're making this stuff up as they go along. And I am sad to see Krakoa go. I'm sad to see it end in the way that it is ending. And we are getting this reboot from the ashes. And we're getting our first preview today for Free Comic Book Day. And I don't know how I feel about it. I think my general takeaway from this is that it's okay. It's okay. I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from it as a reader. I also don't know what the X-Men are supposed to look like in a post-Krakoa world, right? I think when you take the X-Books as seriously as some of us do, raising my hand here, I take the X-Men very seriously. And by the way, I take it seriously in regards to even canon and plot points that I don't like. I will take that verbatim as how it happened, unless I'm told otherwise. One of the things that I found so interesting about Krakoa, especially in Powers of 10, was when Emma looks at Xavier and Magneto and says, "An island again, you should know better." And then we cut to the scene of Emma at Krakoa. She goes, "Fine, one more time for the children." It was so beautiful. It was an absolutely beautiful scene for Miss Emma Grace Frost, for the X-Men franchise as a whole, because this was supposed to be different. Even Destiny said it in a flashback that Mystique has, that one day there will be an island, not the first, but the last. So Krakoa was supposed to be a very big deal. And I don't believe for a second that they had always planned for this to end. I think when we saw the initial sales figures come out in 2019 with all the hype with the Dawn of X books, I believe that Krakoa was supposed to be the new status quo. But because editorial and the writing team ran it to the ground, I'm sorry. Again, with my source was like, "Oh, you're being too critical." My source was like, "You're being too critical. How would you feel if you had to end a story early?" I would be like, "Well, the story leading up to the ending wasn't any good. So I'm sorry you had to rush the ending for this, but it wasn't very good." I think there were problems with Krakoa since Dawn of X. I didn't think there were so alarming that another writer couldn't come in, you know, and fix it up. But certainly during Inferno, and Trial of Magneto and 10 Lives and 10 Deaths of Wolverine, I was like, this is garbage. I am tapping out here. And I went a couple of months of not reading the X books. And I finally came back after the Hellfire Gala because I was like, I got to tune in. I mean, the Hellfire Gala is getting so much attention. And Fall of X, I'm like, well, let's see what's going on here. Now we have the news that it's coming to an end. So I'm like, I got to see the ending of this. But this is all to say that there was so much hype going into Krakoa, into what the Krakoan Age meant, that if you're going to end it, you got to give us a pretty big, spectacular, major ending. And the reboot in the comics needs to be equally as incredible. Now, in fairness, this is just a few pages. This is just a few pages. But there's some things in it that I'm gonna flag as some red flags for me. And I think Gail Simone is a wonderful writer. This is not a criticism on voice. This is not a criticism on dialogue and pacing. But it is a criticism on positioning. And I don't know where positioning comes from. I don't know if that comes from Tom Brevoort or if it comes from the writer pitching Tom Brevoort. That's always been something that's been a mystery to me. That's why with Krakoa and House of 10, House of X and Powers of 10, I like the idea of having someone as a showrunner for the books. And that's what Jonathan Hickman was, head of X. If you remember, Hawks, head of X. I love that idea. I think every book, any major comic book franchise needs a head of department just to oversee the books. I always thought that was supposed to be the editor, but I don't think it's supposed to be the editor. In the years that I've been doing Power of X-Men, I've sort of come to the realization that I think the editors just accept pitches from writers and they give broad strokes in terms of direction, but it's largely up to the writers. Which is, that's sort of how magazine editing works. That's kind of like how book editing works. I just thought they were more showrunners given the longevity of this IP and this shared universe, that the editors had a little bit more hands-on with the creativity and storytelling. And it looks like it's only in broad strokes, or when they get pitches, they sort of fit that into a timeline. I think the X-Men in a post-Krakoa world would be a very interesting thing, having to see them reassimilate into society after they had mutant technology, mutant medicine, and them sort of going back. I would straight up put them back in the mansion. And let's kick off with this issue, because we start off with Jubilee looking at the mansion. And Jubilee is looking at the mansion, and there's apparently no trespassing allowed because it looks like they're taking apart the mansion. And it starts off with Jubilee looking at this security team. They're called the Sentry. And she says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, that's a quote from the Bible. And I get it. Jubilee is no longer a kid. She's looking at Xavier's mansion being disassembled. I don't know why this is supposed to be a beat in the story. They haven't been in the mansion since 2019. It's 2024. They left the mansion August 2019, and it is March 2024. So I don't understand. I think this would be more powerful if they saw Krakoa burning, right? That's just my opinion. I don't know why we're here. Jubilee's looking at this. I mean, is this the first time she's coming back to the mansion since Krakoa? I wish she would say something there. One of the security guards comes up to Jubilee and he says, this area is restricted, miss. Nothing to see here. And she says, sure, guy, nothing to see. And then Jubilee's narration is, we had a castle, towers and everything. We had our own sky chariot. They never let me fly it, though. I was like, wait a minute. Has Jubilee never flown the X-Jet? Has she never flown the Blackbird? And I don't know. Familia, slide into my DMs and let me know. I'm like, wow, really? Has she not? I can't think of a moment where she has. I'm not saying it does not exist. Not saying it doesn't exist, but I can't think of one. She goes, we had a dragon, more than one, actually. Obviously, a reference to Lockheed and Shogo. I want to say Shingo, which is Usagi's brother from Sailor Moon. Shogo, her son. She goes, I'm not going to think about that. So there you go. Acknowledge. And for a while, just a whisper of a while, we even had a homeland. So Krakoa is not being erased, it's not being retconned from X-Men history. The narration continues, Aurora once told me it took 8 months to get a permit for the Blackbird hangar and 3 years to build it. Okay. They put up the fence in 3 days somehow. Amazing the initiative you can find when the goal is fencing people in. I have a problem with this line. Okay. Because I have been renovating our home in Miami and it takes a long time to get permits for anything. You do not need a permit for a fence. At least I don't think you need a permit for a fence, but a fence is pretty straightforward. When you're building a hangar, you have to do electrical, you have to do drywall, you have to reroute plumbing. This is all stuff that needs to be vetted from the city. And I will tell you, in the city of Miami-Dade County in Florida, it takes a long time to get a permit approved. And even the building I live in right now, we're trying to redo some of the common areas, and it has taken years for them just to do a simple common area in a building. So I don't understand the point of this comment here. It doesn't really make any sense to me. I think Gail Simone is missing a mark here. Yes, putting up a fence is very easy because you're just putting up a fence. But actually having to do a hangar, you're doing so much more work that the county you live in has to approve. I mean, that's just like home renovations 101. And it's funny, my husband and I, we were talking about it at Free Comic Book Day with Essex Cosplay and Rod. And my husband was like, I hate this line so much. And I'm like, why? And he's here like, because the X-Men were a secret. The county wouldn't know about their super secret headquarters in the mansion. I was like, but fine. But in Grant Morrison's new X-Men, Xavier outed the school and made sure that everyone knew that the X-Men were a public superhero team. And then the mansion was destroyed and rebuilt during the Astonishing era. And it was, and Jeff was like, no, I just don't think that they would have put in for permits. And I'm like, well, after the mansion was destroyed in Grant Morrison's new X-Men, maybe Shady Xavier before that did not put in for permits, but a one Miss Emma Grace Frost, who rebuilt the mansion with her money during the Astonishing X-Men era, she would have put in for the permits because Emma is a boss bitch. Now, she would have paid extra to bypass all of what it takes to get permits. But anyways, listen. We this is something that we are going to dwell on for a couple of years now, just like the weather and Age of Apocalypse. We're going to talk about the permit situation in Westchester County for the X-Men. But anyway, so we flash to an office and we have a Dr. Karina Ellis there. And she identifies that the mutant that was there as Juba Lee. And Dr. Ellis is talking to a Philip who is a character who has a cane. And these are two new characters as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what their deal is. They're completely new. And Dr. Ellis tells Philip, come on, let's go check on our guests. And then she looks at one of her aides called Trent and she's like, get rid of this mahogany coffin. I want it to look like an IKEA catalog by Friday. Are we clear? And Trent is like, absolutely, Dr. Ellis. I'm like, okay. And this is a second reference in just two pages that we're getting to renovations. And I'm like, how are you going to gut an entire office over the weekend? And by the way, this office looks really nice. Why do you want it to look like an IKEA catalog? Listen, I love IKEA. I'm a big IKEA fan. I had a bed from IKEA for like 15 years, a California King, and I love IKEA. But this is a really nice looking office. I guess this is a mansion. This looks like it's a mansion because we have like the X logo. So it looks like whoever these people are, they have taken over Xavier's mansion. And that's why they're taking down the sign of the school, etc. But my question would be, one, has the property been abandoned? How are they doing that, right? Because if Xavier just left to Krakoa and just left that property abandoned, I guess the county claimed it. Or if he wasn't paying taxes on it, those taxes became a lien and they went to the county and they were able to bid on it. And that's how this organization was able to step in and take it. I don't know. I'm curious about all of this just because it's something that's relevant to my life. But because they're talking about opening up permits, because they're talking about redoing the office over the weekend. I'm like, I'm trying to put in two bookshelves, two custom made bookshelves at my place in Miami. And it is taking us months just to get that done. But also, why would you take something like Xavier's office that looks so beautiful and timeless and switch it over to an IKEA decor? I like modern, don't get me wrong. And I like IKEA too. But this is like beautiful wood. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's fine. They're evil. They're evil. And so we see that they have a couple people in their care. I was going to say in there. So it looks like they have a couple people in custody, of which include the Blob and Teresa, Siren, Cassidy. And I'm like, what have Teresa and the Blob done to anyone that would force them to be incarcerated by this group? Seems like they just found them and incarcerated them. But the big thing is that we have Inmate X, which has been long speculated for a while that Inmate X is actually Xavier. And it looks like they're behind a really big psychic Cerebro wall. So do you remember from Grant Morrison's new X-Men with Cerebro, that sort of big machine and that mechanism where Xavier sat down, Jean sat down, Emma sat down? That's what this looks like, except it's like sealed off in the vault and it says Inmate X. And Dr. Cornelia Ellis puts her hand on it and says, "You can hear me, can't you? My advice is for you to get comfortable, get submissive, and get adjusted to the idea that you are never leaving this room again. Do you hear me? Never again." So for me, that tells me it's Xavier. Right? You're not going to put Cyclops behind somewhere like that. You're not going to put Emma behind somewhere like that. Maybe Storm, given her powers. But we know Storm is out and about. Jubilee is leaving the mansion when a car of guys nearly runs her over and they call her every horrible slur in the world except for Mutie. She tracks them down to the All-Star Diner and she goes in and she sees that there's a mutant waitress. And the mutant waitress's mom is like, she's not a mutant. She just has a skin condition. And Jubilee looks at her and she makes the sign for what it means to be a mutant. So I guess there's an underground sign of what it means to be a mutant. And Jubilee gets that waitress out of there. And then she blows up those guys who almost ran her over. She blows up their car. And her powers, I guess, now can cause fire. And there's a big X on the car. And Philip is like, "Dr. Ellis, we may need to update our files on Jubilee." And Dr. Ellis is like, "Oh, those mutants, they know how to keep secrets." And that's it. That is the gist of the preview. It's fine. It's not bad. But you know what I mean? Like, saying it's fine and it's not bad is not necessarily a great review. Because when we got House of X, Powers of Ten, we were like, oh my God. I'm hoping these preview pages are just a sample of a much better, bigger, larger story. My worry is if for Free Comic Book Day, you want to get readers back with this X-Men relaunch, and you're showing me these pages, is that the best we have coming in? I don't know, Familia. I'm going to give it a shot. I will read these books. I want the X-Men to succeed. But this better be a very compelling story to keep me around every week. Because with X-Men 97, it's like, wow, everything we've ever wanted out of the X-Men, we're getting in X-Men 97 on Wednesdays. And it's sort of hard to remember that the X-Men comics come out on Wednesday when X-Men 97 is just so good. Anyways, Familia, those are my feels on it. Let's see where it goes. If you want my opinion, here's my raw opinion. I'm not going to try to be objective. I'm just going to give Day Springs feels right here. I think the story is okay. It definitely has a very 90s feel to it from the art to the coloring. But I don't think this is going to be enough to bring back readers or bring in new readers. I think X-Men 97 is the way of the future for the X-Men. I hope I'm wrong with this. I hope maybe some of the other books are better, like Exceptional X-Men. I hope those are really, really great books. I'm open to it. I think X-Men sounds really promising with Jed McKay. But I would imagine Uncanny X-Men is the flagship and you have a writer like Gail Simone spearheading it, let's see what they're doing. It just doesn't feel like it's going to really move the needle or really convince other people who have left the X-Books to come back or to become a Wednesday warrior again. Ah, I wish I could say something better. Again, it's not bad, but not bad is not a great review. Do you know what I mean? Especially when this is a kickoff. But anyways, Amelia, slide into my DMs. Let me know what you think, and we will discuss as a community.